Have you ever had a mentor? How about a mentee? As a student, a recent grad, or anyone really, it can feel daunting to find someone in your field of interest to take an interest in you. Likewise, as a mentor, it can be hard to find someone with the passion, work ethic, and heart to take your lessons and use them to build something great. Today's guest is my mentee. From the show, you'll learn how our mentor-mentee relationship came to be and how you can find and cultivate one in your own life, too. Welcome to Unleash Your Inner Creative with Lauren LaGrasso. I'm Lauren LaGrasso. I'm an award-winning podcast host and producer, singer-songwriter, public speaker, and creative coach. I'm best known for producing hit shows such as Glennon Doyle's We Can Do Hard Things podcast, Brené Brown's Unlocking Us, Lauren Conrad Asking for a Friend, and this podcast, Unleash Your Inner Creative, which is a Webby Award honoree, three-time Signal Award winner, and has been featured in publications such as People Magazine, Podcast Magazine, and Business Insider. Unleash Your Inner Creative sits at the intersection of creativity, mental health, self-development, and spirituality. It's meant to give you tools to love, trust, and know yourself enough to claim your right to creativity and pursue whatever it is that's on your heart. I am so excited to announce that this month, the month of April, Unleash Your Inner Creative is collaborating with my alma mater, Michigan State University, and their student-run radio station, The Impact 89 FM. Each week this month, you'll hear a remarkable MSU student or alumni who is doing great creative work out in the world and or on campus. These episodes will air both on the Impact 89 FM as well as on the usual Unleash Your Inner Creative podcast feed. If you're listening on the radio right now, hi, I am so glad to meet you. Welcome to Unleash Your Inner Creative. I am thrilled to have you in the creative community. If you like what you hear, you can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and find the show where you can learn more about it, follow it, and hear past episodes. If you're a regular Unleash listener, you can check out The Impact at impact89fm.org for more info on the station, their shows, and for the ability to listen to live radio. Kicking off the first week of our Unleash and Impact collaboration is a conversation with my podcast editor and associate producer, Rachel Fulton. Rachel is my mentee, but honestly, I look at her more like an apprentice because I'm teaching her my trade of podcast hosting and producing. So by the time she graduates, she will be producing and podcasting at a professional level. Rachel is currently a junior at Michigan State University studying broadcast journalism with the goal of pursuing a career in radio or podcasting after she graduates next spring. She first discovered her love for radio and all things audio in high school, where she was the news director and a DJ for 89.5 WAHS Avondale Community Radio. Since then, Rachel's broadcasting talent has consistently been recognized by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters, aka the MAB. Highlights include achieving a second place MAB scholarship this year and winning the first place award for on-air personality and talent in the MAB Student Awards competition. She has been with the Impact 89 FM at MSU since her freshman year. She currently serves there as a news producer and host for the State Podcast and the Podcast Director. Like Rachel, as you know, I also attended MSU and I worked at the Impact 89 FM as a radio host under the name DJ Losef. I am a proud Spartan alumna and it has been so awesome to reconnect with my alma mater through Rachel. We worked together to bring this collaboration to light, and we are so excited it is finally happening. I think it's a great example of how alumni and current students can work together, collaborate, and learn from each other. From today's chat, you'll learn how to be your most authentic self in your work environment, the power of networking and true connection building, how to curate an individual experience in the midst of a big group or community like MSU, or Los Angeles, where I live, the value of mentor-mentee relationships, and so much more. Also, just a small content warning before we get into our chat. There are some references to the MSU campus shooting that occurred last February 2023. So I wanted you to know that before kicking it off. Please take care of yourself while listening, and always. Okay, now here it is, my chat with Rachel Fulton. Rachel Fulton, esteemed associate producer and editor of Unleash Your Inner Creative, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here again, second time.
Yes, we're so happy to have you. And by we, I mean me and you. So, Rach, I want to get into how we met and started working together. But before we do that, I think it's important to tell our MSU origin stories and also like just how we got here and are now talking on the radio and on Unleash Your Inner Creative together. So how did you happen to go to MSU? Tell me how you ended up where you are.
So I always thought I was going to go to Michigan State. I had family that went there, graduated, and, you know, as a kid, I played basketball, and I was like, I'm going to play basketball at Michigan State. I don't know what I'm going to, you know, study, but that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, then I quit basketball going into high school, became a swimmer, and I was like, I want to swim at Michigan State, but I still don't know what I want to study. And then I got into radio when I was in high school. I was part of 89.5 WAHS, so I went to a ton of different conferences for the Michigan Association of Broadcasters, and I met Jeremy Whiting, who's our general station manager at Impact, at one of those events, and he took us one time to the Impact. I think it was my junior year of high school, and I fell in love. I mean, that was like one of the first times I had been on campus that I could actually like remember and process everything, and seeing like the Impact, it was so overwhelming but so exciting, and I said, this is what I'm doing. I'm coming here, I'm doing journalism, and I'm going to be part of the Impact.
So did you apply to any other schools, or was it just MSU for you?
MSU was my top, and then I applied to Oakland University. I did apply to Boston, and yeah, I always knew it was going to be MSU. I just did the other schools just to see.
Wow. So our stories are very different.
Really? Okay, tell me yours.
So I also had family that went to Michigan State, specifically my parents. They met at Michigan State. So I kind of originated at MSU. If it wasn't for MSU, I would not be alive right now. I would just be floating in the sky somewhere waiting to come down. But anyway, my dad always kind of pushed Michigan State on me. And I am such, in many ways, if somebody expects me to do something, I want to do the opposite. So when I felt like there was an expectation that MSU was the place for me, it made me not want to go there. And I also felt like a lot of people at my high school were going there. I want to have a different experience. How can I possibly do that in this place where everybody else is going? I wasn't thinking about the fact that at that time it was like 40,000 students total. Like, you're not going to see those Yes. people very much. And I love the Right. people I went to high school with, but I just really wanted something that was a different experience. Like, I'm an Aquarius. I just always have to be different. And so I applied to 14 different schools.
14?
Yeah. I applied with different majors. Some places I was applying as a theater major, some places I was applying as a journalism major, some places I was applying as a communication major. I was just throwing pasta at the wall and seeing what stuck. And so it ended up being between three universities, well, one college and two universities, Kalamazoo College, Michigan State, and Boston University. I got into all three of those, and I thought they all seemed good for different reasons. So God bless my parents. We put in deposits on all three of them because I was so lost. And I decided I was going to go to Boston. I thought that sounded the coolest. I thought their broadcast journalism program sounded really cool. And again, I had this thing in my head of, I need to be different. I need to do it a different way. And about 2 weeks before I was supposed to ship off to Boston, I realized, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Like, I had decided I was going to do Boston, defer for a year and take a gap year and then like go over to New Zealand and do journalism and teach kids theater. And like, I had these big plans for a gap year, but I'm like, if Boston seemed far to me, New Zealand is really far. And I just don't think I'm ready to leave the nest in that way yet. And so it just like dawned on me. I'm like, I want to and need to go to Michigan State. And I think I just needed to come to the decision from myself versus these outside inputs, whether it be my parents, whether it be the community I lived in, the world. Like, I needed to come to it on my own. Unfortunately, it took such a long time and I was tortured that whole summer before I moved to Michigan State. But it truly was the best decision I ever made in my life because it set up the rest of my life. And the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, I really want to make this clear to people who are in their first or second years there especially, is at Michigan State, you can have such a specialized experience even within this huge university. So I feel like I really made my own path. And I ended up mostly being in classes with like sometimes 10 to 20 people in them. And I got a BFA in theater, a BA in communication. I was involved in so many extracurriculars, including hosting at the Impact. And
yes.
For Michigan State people, you just need to know, even though it's a huge university, and even though for a lot of us, many people from our high schools end up going there, it doesn't mean you have to have a generic experience. You can really curate your own experience. And that's the reason I'm in LA too. I met someone at Michigan State. I said, I want to have an internship on The Ellen Show someday. They put me in contact with someone who's a production assistant there. And then that ended up taking me here to LA. So you can have a really unique journey. It can be a long and windy one, but as long as you get there, you'll be fine.
No, that's actually a great story. And I love how you just had to build up to the chance of actually like leaving, because now, like you said, you're all the way out in LA now. And at that point, you just couldn't leave the area. So yeah, I mean, that was definitely a concern for me too. I just could not leave the state. I love Michigan. I love being here where my family is. And, you know, I have a sister who's 6 hours away and she's my identical twin. And it's so hard. I still can't wrap around why she did that. But yeah, it's good for her though.
Yeah, I think certain people need certain things in order to grow. I needed to grow in baby steps. So if I had gone to Boston right out of college, I think I would have been totally lost. And so for me, Michigan State was a perfect transition. I always call college fake adulthood. You know, it's like you're all the good parts of adulthood and none of the bad parts yet.
Yes, that is so true.
That was what was most important for me. Beyond the classes, it was Michigan State has provided me an incredible community and a great place to grow and learn who I was. And so I think that was really what set me up for life, was the community, the people I interacted with, and then the fact that I had space to grow in an environment that felt safe. I couldn't be more grateful. I think it's just the perfect place. It really is.
No, it is. It's so nice. And the connections are like the biggest thing. When I tell people, you know, recently I talked to somebody who was coming in the fall and I said, when you get here, build those connections because they will work. They'll help you after you leave.
Yeah. And I do want to speak to the thing I said about curating your own experience there. Like I could have gone in and just taken the classes, you know, but I ended up doing the impact. I was in theater. I was in the Telecasters, which is a great group in the communication building that creates all kinds of content. I was an actor on the show. I also sat on the Telecasters board. I think I was like the director of communication on it.
Look at you.
I was also on, I don't know if this still exists, but Sideshow. It was a sketch comedy group within the Telecasters that won a Michigan Emmy, which was pretty cool. And I was on like the theater board and I took like, I was in Italian club for a while. I did meditation class. So I think a lot of people come to Michigan State and are like, okay, well, I'll just take my classes and maybe I know they have sororities, but if that doesn't really resonate with you, you can create your own social experiences and you can also create your own professional leaning experiences that end up setting you up. And many of those people from the Telecasters I still work with today. I graduated in 2011 and we still interact today. Like the foundations you're all building right now really will set you up for the future and for your career and also be friends for life. So, okay, let's go into how we met. I was looking for a new editor and producer. So I actually knew Jeremy, your general station manager, from when I was in college. He was involved with Impact back then. And so I had posted something on Facebook saying, I'm looking for a new associate producer. Like, I like when I hire people to mentor them. So I basically hire for heart and train for skill. And while it's a more painful process in the beginning, it ends up being great because you get someone, if they care, who's like a little you and can do things in the same way that you like to do them. So it's kind of like a nice way to mentor someone and also get the help you need in order to get your show or your business growing and done. So he recommended Rachel and he said, there's someone you need to meet. I highly recommend Rachel. And just hearing about her, it was clear how much passion she had, how much vision she had for such a young person. And tell me how he introduced the opportunity to you, because I actually don't know this.
Yeah, so I, at the time, just received the podcast directing role at the station, and I was still the news producer for the podcast I have now. And so Jeremy came to me and he said, this girl's amazing. The podcast is awesome. You need to see if you can reach out and maybe look at this as a great internship opportunity. And that was crazy to already think, because I was literally just out of my freshman year and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be working in the professional world. Like, if I got this job, and it was actually really intimidating. I was really nervous and I was like, you know what? No, you've been doing podcasts for a while. You've been doing audio editing for a while. You know what you're doing. And clearly this is a learning experience. And I went into it, just like I said, I didn't want to tell you that I'm a professional because I wasn't. I still am not. But I wanted to learn and I wanted to grow. And so, yeah, I said, let's just take a leap and do it. And it was the best decision I ever made. I'm so happy.
Well, I'm so happy too. And I remember the thing that struck me. So we had our first Zoom. And the thing that struck me, number one, was just like how much you cared. I always say you can teach people almost anything, but you can't teach them to care. You can't teach them to be a hard worker, and you can't teach them to be a good person. Anything else you can kind of teach them to do in a job experience. But those three things are like a core of who somebody is, and they kind of either have it or they don't. And so the first thing I was struck by was your enthusiasm and how much I could tell you already cared about the position without having it yet. And then the second thing I was struck by was just how raw you were. At the time, I was producing Emma Chamberlain's podcast, and you were, and I think you still are, a huge fan of hers. And you didn't yes. hold anything back. You were like, you screamed when I told you. And I was like,
I was so excited, because that's a big deal for me. Like, that's somebody who I've watched for so long, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, she's editing somebody who I look at as like amazing. Like, this is crazy. She's like a celebrity.
Yeah, and I just loved your unbridled enthusiasm, because that goes a long way, you know, especially when things get hard. If you're not enthusiastic and passionate about what you're doing, it's so difficult to get through some, like, if I'm sending you something and saying, hey, Rachel, we need to look at this edit again. If you don't like the content underneath it, it's going to be painful to get through some of the more annoying and intricate parts of the job. So I just really recognize that enthusiasm, and that this was your main passion in life, that you really were willing to do anything to start this career within your morals, of course. But I'm like, well, yes. You know what? Like, I can train her up and I can work with it. And like, yes, I have a lot more experience than her. But the thing for me and why I was so curious to work with you is when I started in radio, the first job I got at SiriusXM as the associate producer and an on-air personality with Maria Menounos, I had no experience. I was just a fan. And then within a year, because I care, because I'm passionate, because I'm a hard worker, I ended up becoming a full-time producer. And I would say, I mean, Maria said it herself, one of the best producers at the company.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And it also makes sense, because when you care about something and when you do have like a raw passion and talent for it, which you have, you can grow really quickly, especially when somebody believes in you. So I want to talk about this, because also I think it's fascinating that you call this an internship, because I never looked at it that way. I look at it as an apprenticeship or a mentorship. So tell me like what the trajectory has been like for you working with me, and yeah, just like some of the things you've learned along the journey.
As far as this being an internship, I really didn't want to look at it like that. Like I said, I felt really intimidated coming into it, because I was like, wow, this is a job. But everybody now is just, especially with journalism, if you have some sort of like job on the side, and clearly this is kind of like a profession for me right now, this is my main job. And so everyone's like, oh, so it's just your internship. Like, you're getting the experience, you're getting a paid internship. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's what I'm doing. So that's what I just kind of called it. But the more and more we work together, like you say, it's really more of a mentorship. Like, I've just learned so much. I haven't just learned about, you know, audio and podcast producing and editing and things. I've learned to be a better person. Like, I don't think I could work for another podcast and learn as much as I've learned from you as far as being a good person, you know, creating time for myself. I used to really put off mental health. I think I've told you this before. It was just something I'm like, no, just keep grinding out your stuff. I've always been a hard worker. I hated like putting things off. And with you, it's like, no, like just, you know, do the work, but you want to make sure that you're making time for yourself, you're staying healthy. And a lot of that hit me too last year when we had the MSU campus shooting. It was really, really difficult. And it was hard to get back into classes. It was hard to get back into work. And I realized at that moment, I was like, wow, I really need to live a little bit more. I need to like stop being so stressed out about my work and my classes and, you know, make more time for my outside life. I ended up getting a dog because of it, like somebody to just like, you know, make me go and like get outside and walk. And, you know, it's just little things like that I've learned from you just to be a better person and just care for myself more. I could work for any other podcast, but with yours and the meaning and the story behind it and the person who hosts it, it's just, those are the biggest life lessons I'll take away.
Rachel, that's so beautiful.
Thank you.
I didn't know that that had impacted you so much. I meant like that the podcast and like working together had impacted you in that way. And I guess I do want to ask your advice for other students, you know, because there's been a lot of trauma for all of you on MSU's campus over the past few years. You know, when I was there, that heaviness wasn't existent. It was more just like good times, roll along. The stress that was there was really school related or extracurricular or job related. It wasn't related to the culture of the campus or heartbreaking events that were happening around the campus. And so I'm curious, how have you kept your passion for MSU and focused on and remembered the good parts of MSU while these really heartbreaking or disheartening events are occurring?
That's a great question because, you know, as a journalism major too, you're exposed to it all the time. I mean, you're constantly seeing it on the news. You're constantly having to go out and report on it. It's hard, especially right now. You know, there's a lot of distrust in our board. There's a lot of distrust in the organizations and things. It just depends on whatever it is. A lot of people are split. It hurts. It hurts as a student. And, you know, I know at the time, none of that was going on for you. And it really hit like around like 2015 when, you know, the gymnastics
scandal. Yeah.
Oh, so disgusting.
And sadly, it was all going on when I was there. It just wasn't exposed, right? Because that stuff had been happening for years and it just wasn't brought to the surface until 2015.
Yes. And it hasn't stopped either. That's the problem. Like we constantly are seeing something every year, ever since that hit. And, you know, at the time I was young, I didn't understand what's going on. But now that, you know, I'm here on campus, you constantly see it come up. And it's just, like I said, every year things are coming up. But I think something that keeps me going and keeping the love for MSU that I have is definitely all the people that I've built connections with, the organizations. You have to surround yourself with good people, people that care about you. The Impact has always been a safe place for me. The communications building has always, you know, I meet new people every semester, even though we're in the same major. It's like, oh, how have I not met you before? But you do. You constantly are meeting people and you have to like network and just, you know, expose yourself to people that actually want to see you succeed and want to help. And so that's kind of just how I've been doing it. And I'm blessed too. I have a boyfriend who's always been an MSU fan. You know, he grew up in East Lansing and he went to MSU and graduated. And so he's definitely kept the passion in me as well. We're both huge fans. We love the sports. We love any of the events that happen. And that's a great thing too. You know, people are just like, oh, I'm just going to go for the sports. I'm just going to go for theater. It's like, no, expose yourself to everything. The campus offers so much. And that has helped me just constantly just remember, wow, like we really have an amazing place here. Even through all the bad things that happen, it's a great place to be. And even when I'm having a hard day, like I'll take my dog on campus and walk around and just remember how beautiful it is. And yeah, just really appreciate it.
Yeah. And one thing I will say is Spartans help each other. You know, I've seen that time and time again, even out in LA. Like when you see somebody, there's like an instant recognition and you just have a softness toward them and want to help. And how have you, you know, speaking of the shooting, that was so traumatic. And I was really, really worried for you, not only physically, but also emotionally and mentally. How have you taken care of yourself since then?
I will say the biggest thing that has helped, especially during that time, was the campus made it obvious about the resources and all the events that they put on. You know, they didn't just have memorials and things where it was very sad, of course, but the setting was there so you could mourn and everything. But they had other events where, like, they had different organizations off campus come and bring food and, you know, stuffed animals and dogs and things like that. And that's just beautiful to see, like, the community coming together. And I think that's kind of how I, you know, settled down from it. And I also made it sure that I needed to make space from where that occurred, because I was really close with those buildings where everything happened. You know, with the Union, everybody knows the Union is a welcoming place. You go there to study, you go there for events. With the Impact, we're always DJing there. We host open mic nights, and it's great to see the MSU campus come together for those things. And to see something so disgusting and terrible happen right in that place, it was so sad. And I needed to make time to stay away and just kind of mentally prepare myself to walk in the next time I did. And with Berkey, you know, that's the other building that had
Berkey Hall.
Yeah, I had classes in there and I haven't stepped foot in there since. And it's, you know, it's hard. And but they're building it up. Like, we just got an email last week that they're going to make some spaces where people can come together. They're going to make it, you know, not just a normal classroom like it was. They're going to actually remember it in a way. But yeah, I want to cry too.
Yeah, it's just really so sad. Like, MSU is a place that, like, I always felt so safe. You know, I would literally go into the women's lounge in the Union. I don't know if that's still a thing, but I would go into the women's lounge in the Union and take naps. Like, that's how safe I felt there. And, like, the idea that it no longer feels that way is really heartbreaking. And I'm glad that the university is taking the necessary steps to make it feel safe again, or safer, yes. And also to honor the people who lost their lives and to mourn them properly. But yeah, it's, you've had to deal with a lot of heaviness. And I think one thing that I've really tried to do as, like, a boss and as a mentor is take your full personhood into account. I think something that I've struggled with a lot being in corporate spaces or just working in Hollywood is that a lot of times there's not a lot of space to be a person. I understand, yes, at the end of the day, we have to get the work done. But if someone comes to you and earnestly says, hey, I'm struggling today, I don't think I can get it done today, you have to honor that. And if they do it all the time, listen, I hear you. Like, you got to move on. But, like, when major life events happen or someone's going through something major in their lives, I don't think that they should have to hide it in order to be quote unquote professional.
Yes.
It's slowly changing. I don't think that that's a thing across, like, all or even many industries, but it's something I'm really trying to do differently with you than what had been done to me. I think a big problem with the world in general is that people thoughtlessly transfer their trauma to other people instead of actually saying, what happened to me wasn't right, and I'm going to break this cycle and break this pattern. And so I always try my best to be transparent with you, tell you what we need, talk about the deadlines, tell you what I expect from you, teach you when I don't feel like you've done your full potential, and also say all the things you did right, and also, like, give you grace to try again the next week and still believe in you.
Yes. And I appreciate that, because that's only helped me be more comfortable with you. I don't just look at you as a boss. I look at you as a friend and somebody I can always talk to if I need to. You know, literally yesterday, Lauren just dyed her hair and it's beautiful. And I was like, damn, you look so cute. Like, that's great. Like, that's just what I mean. Like, I don't think I could ever have that relationship with anyone else. You know, maybe somebody else that's like you, but it's just, we got something special here and I don't want to lose that. You know, even yeah. My dad has always said, ever since I got this, he said, no, you need to stay with her. Like, if there's anything that you need to make a decision for, it's that you need to stay with her, not just because, you know, she'll hook you up and stuff in the future. It's because she's a good person. She wants to see you succeed. And so, yeah, that's just really helped me open up to you as a person. It definitely has helped when, you know, times come up. Classes are really hard, especially right now as a junior. It's very stressing. A lot of things are going on. But it's nice to just be like, hey, Lauren, like, I'm not going to get to this today. Can I give it to you in a few days? Or, you know, sometimes, you know, with spring break or I have some trips that come up, like I'm going to see my sister for Easter, it's like, I'm going to do my work, but I keep you aware of where I am and what's going on just in case something were to come up. But you respect it. Like, you're like, yes, go and enjoy, you know, your holiday. Go and do this. Go see people. But, you know, I hope I'm showing you the quality of my work too on the side of that.
You are. You're amazing at what you do. And honestly, like, you're more on it than I am a lot of the times because you're more organized than me.
I try.
I guess what I'm wanting to say right now, if there's anybody listening who's in an employer position, just because you were treated badly doesn't mean you need to pass that on to the people who work for or with you. In fact, you should want to try to do the work to make sure you never make anybody feel the way that you felt. And I'm really sick of seeing people just thoughtlessly pass off their trauma like a baton.
Yes.
It wasn't your fault that it happened to you, but it is your fault if you keep passing it on and keep re-traumatizing yourself and other people. And so, yeah, that's something I've tried to be really conscious of with you is like, I really believe there is a way to expect a very high quality and to extend a deep amount of kindness and compassion to the people who work with you.
No, I'd like to add to that because I think something that people struggle with, especially that I see with the journalism field and everything, people aren't people person, if that makes sense. Like, I've always been a people person. I love to show myself off, like, you know, through my voice, through how I approach people. And I guess that's why I won the on-air personality, number one for the MABs.
And also, what was the other thing you won?
Yes.
You got a scholarship. Tell me what that was. Let's give a shout out.
Yeah, so I won the second place scholarship through the Michigan Association of Broadcasters, too. They do multiple different scholarships every year. Some of them are like named scholarships, which I've won in the past. And then I won one when I was in high school, too. But they only have top threes for the MAB scholarships. And I won second place. So it was really cool.
It's huge.
Yeah, but like I was saying, just showing yourself off, like being approachable to people and wanting to talk and wanting to express yourself, like, that's going to make you succeed. And that is how I think we connect and everything. Mm-hmm. We both are just very talkative. We love to be around people. And
so, like, when you say showing yourself off, do you mean like being your full self? So instead of being like, yes. Oh, yeah, I kind of want to do this job and I think it'd be nice, because there are professional experiences out there that make it seem like if you're your full self, you're not going to be welcome. And you're not going to be able to like do the job. But what I'm encouraging people to do is try to only work in places where your full self is welcome. Now, I'm not saying you should go in there swearing and saying raunchy things, but like,
right.
I think you should have the right to be like, hey, I'm really struggling today and I'm going to get this work done, but I need a 1-day extension, and not be persecuted for that. Or to like just show your unbridled enthusiasm like Rachel did when I told her about Emma Chamberlain. You know, like I don't think that we should require people to separate who they are in order to exist in a space. And one thing I also always do is anytime I'm going to work with someone or mentor somebody, I ask them what their dream is. Because and this is, again, more advice for employers, but also many of the people listening who are current students will someday be employers, or, you know, this is something to look out for in a workplace. I ask people what their dream is because I think it's part of my duty, no matter what they're doing for me, to bring them closer to that. Because if we all were pursuing our dreams, everybody has the right to have a dream, but not everybody has the privilege to pursue it. So all I'm saying is if you have the privilege to help somebody get closer to their dream, then why would you not? And so like that was one of the first things I asked Rachel is, what is your dream? And I'm always thinking about that. You know, like one thing I keep trying to encourage you to do, I'm like, start a personality driven show. Like we need to get you on a podcast. And I think a lot of people don't do that because they have this scarcity mindset. Like, oh my God, like what if the person becomes more successful than me? That would be great. Like, I hope you do become more successful than me. Hire me someday. That would be fantastic. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I don't think people realize that like your thumbprints on that person when you help them get closer to who they are or who they want to be. Yeah, like that's just a piece of advice. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that, Rach?
Yeah, definitely. Because like you said, when I said showing off or anything, I'm not talking about bragging. I'm talking about being proud of yourself. Like I talk about your podcast all the time, everywhere I go, because I'm not only proud of the work that I'm doing, I'm proud of the work that you're doing because you've helped me so much. And I think we create amazing things. And it's awesome to be able to work on something where I'm also learning to be a person as well. Like, you know, I could listen to any podcast, like, you know, one of our impact podcasts, which I do, but I'm not learning like the creative side of it. I'm not learning, you know, how to be a ray in somebody else's day from those. I'm learning that from yours. And that's what I respect about this specifically, because it's just making me so much better.
Hi, creative. If you love the show and it has meant a lot to you, think about sharing it with your friends, family, and anyone you think would love to hear it. Podcasts are spread person to person, and I know the number one influencers in my life are my friends and family. So if you know someone who would love it, you can think about passing it along. Unleash Your Inner Creative can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. New episodes drop every Wednesday in the Unleash podcast feed. Remember, during the month of April, you can also listen to Unleash on the Impact 89 FM on Wednesdays live from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, now back to the podcast. What would be your advice for somebody who is also either a current student or a recent grad who wants to get into a mentor-mentee relationship like we have? I call this an apprenticeship, and I think apprenticeships should exist more. Like, that's what I was really wishing for when I wanted to get into radio and I didn't know anybody in the field, was a way for you to learn on the job, basically. So somebody who will actually take the time and teach you. And I get it, because like we live in a capitalistic society. It's hard for somebody to take time and teach someone, but there's a lot of benefits for the employer end too. That being said, what would be your advice for somebody listening who's either a student or recent grad who has a desire to get into a role like this, where they're an apprentice to somebody and really learning how to be a true professional in that career path?
Great question. I would say first, definitely show your personality. That is how I've got everything through being at the Impact and being with you, Lauren, and through my scholarships and everything. Definitely just showing who you are, like we just talked about. That's the best part that you can do. And second, you also want to be like a sponge. Like my goal, whenever I get a job, like I want it to be a learning experience in some way, because you're always going to learn something new, but you want to make sure you're letting them know that. Like you may have the experience already, but you don't want to come in like, oh, I already know that. Like I know how to do that. No, you want to say you're open to whatever they want to teach you. And being a sponge, just filling up everything that you can from them, that's only going to make you better in whatever field it is that you want to do.
I think one thing you do really well is like you have a level of humility to you. So like if I say, hey, Rach, like I appreciate what you did here. This isn't quite what I wanted. Here's what I'm thinking for next time. You're like, oh my gosh, thank you. I didn't see that. I'll definitely do better the next time. You don't have an ego, I guess, is the thing I would say. And that's what makes me love working with you, because you can take the advice and you actually improve the next time.
It's crazy that you say that, because I used to have a lot of anxiety whenever I would get corrected on things. And I've definitely learned, especially with you, because you're always giving me notes. And I take it as yes, like that's going to make me better. Thank you for letting me know. I'm going to jot it down. It's going to be, you know, something I use going forward. But when I was younger, especially in high school, whenever somebody would try and critique me, I would like have a mental breakdown. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just beat myself up. I thought I was doing the worst thing ever. But yes, it's important to make sure like, no, even if you mess up here and there, like we're human, we're all gonna make mistakes, or, you know, we're gonna miss something here and there. But as long as somebody's like telling you, that's only gonna make you so much better.
Yeah. And I think it's a two-way street. Like I've definitely been in experiences where someone would give me a note and I took it really hard. And I maybe wouldn't have been like, no, you're wrong. But it would like destroy me and I would go into the negative self-talk like you. But I think that the thing that people need to do on my side of our relationship is make sure the person knows you believe in them. Like, I really try to emphasize how much I believe in you, what a great producer you are, and how much I know your heart. Like, I know you're never doing something purposely. Like, it's because you were trying your best and you just like missed exactly what I wanted in that moment. And so I'm not coming to you from the point of view of you're so bad, you know, it's more like, hey, you're amazing. And next time, try it this way. It's easy to take a note when you know somebody loves you and believes in you. It's like parenting. I'm not a parent yet, but like you have to look at it that way. Like your kid is actually going to like trust you and listen to you if they know at the end of the day you believe in them and any advice you're giving them is from the point of view of I am looking out for your highest good. It's a two-way street and you are so great at like taking the note and incorporating it the next week. I think that that's really important too. And then I'm thinking from the point of view, like we got lucky because we were put in touch by Jeremy. But if somebody was interested in it, like from a student or recent grad or even a non-recent grad, because by the way, I think it's great to restart or like change your life at any point, whether you're 22 or 70, if you decide you want to take a different career, that's a courageous step. And if you're interested in doing something like an internship or an apprenticeship, if somebody reached out to me and said, hey, I love what you do. I'm so intrigued by it. You know, here's my skill set. I don't have everything I need probably to be a producer yet, but would you ever be interested in me being your apprentice and learning from you and offering you these skills? This is what I have and this is what I think I can build. I would at least take a meeting with them and see what they had to say. And I wish I would have done something like that when I was younger because it's an intriguing proposition. I think a lot of people want to mentor, but they don't know how to, and they want to make sure that they're not like wasting their time giving information to somebody who's not actually going to use it. But I really think if this is like an intriguing way of working to you and like you really want to get into a field, but you don't know anyone in it, this is like a way I think you could do it. You could go to LinkedIn. You can look up people who are from MSU. You can then look for people who are in a similar field to what you want to do. Then look up who comes up from that and then start researching them and then create your outreach and share something similar. Approach with humility, say you're interested in the work and then see what happens.
Well, look at it from this perspective too, yeah. Because if you're the person who's looking to get mentored, the shadowing is always going to help you. Like I said, whatever you can soak up, it's going to help you in the future. And then second, if you're the person who is looking to mentor someone, you're always going to see an opportunity come across your thing. Like for you, we're here on The Impact now for this month and it's exciting. And that's something I don't know if you would have been able to do maybe with another station, but specifically your alma mater. And that's a huge opportunity for you and your podcast. And yeah, it's a win-win both ways.
Totally. And you learn so much from teaching somebody. It really stretches your own skills to have to teach what you do. Because people say this line that I think is really rude, but they say, those who can't do, teach. Well, what I'd like to say is not all that do can teach. Teaching is a different skill in and of itself. And so it really stretches your skill set and teaches you how much you really know if you can teach it to somebody else. And I'm proud to say these days, Rachel is such a good editor. I barely have to give her a note. I don't know that like if I had brought somebody in who was like a perfect editor, if I would have felt the same way because I was able to train her in exactly the way I like to edit. And so now I have like a mini me that not only is great for my podcast, but like if I need to refer somebody else, like they're asking, oh, do you have a good editor or a good associate producer? I can refer her with confidence because she edits the way I do.
That means so much. That means the world to me, Lauren, because I started it just giving you what I knew, the basics and the cuts that you had to make. You were probably like, what is she doing?
It was rough.
Yeah, I bet it was. And I'm so sorry you had to do that. But it's just cool to see how that progress has built. I literally started as like a little seed and now I'm just growing and really, it's cool. It's really awesome to see that.
But it's also cool from my perspective because everything I learned, I had to learn on the job. It really was baptism by fire. And so I like that you're able to have a more gentle upbringing in media than I had. Back to the point about not passing on your trauma or not passing on your hardships just because you think you should. Like, it actually gives me great joy to give you a gentler place to land, to learn this craft than I had. My other hope is that you do this for somebody else someday. The only yes. thing I ever ask is, like, you bring this energy out into the world and you mentor somebody someday, because then we're just going to create more and more good people in an industry that has frequently been fraught with traumatized people.
Very true. I mean, I've been asked to come back to my high school and talk to them, you know, show them what I've been doing, because I do have a really good resume right now being a junior in college. Like, excellent. And you made that happen. But I have learned that side as well, being like, hey, I may be in somewhat of a professional spot right now, but here's my contact and let me know if you need help. If you have questions about the university, if you have questions about broadcasting, if you're looking for a job like right outside of high school and you're wondering, you know, where do I start and everything? Yeah, I love to throw my contact at people because I love to help people just like you do.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So we wanted to talk about getting out into the real world because you're graduating next year. How are you prepping for your graduation and starting to become more stable before that happens? Or like, what way are you thinking about it? Because I know what I was thinking the year before graduation and it was weird.
Were you scared?
I thought my life was going to end when I graduated. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Because it's the first time in your life where you don't know what you're supposed to do. It's like, one thing I don't think that any of our schooling really sets us up for is the fact that we have actually known what we were supposed to do from the time we were like 3. And then all of a sudden, when you're 22, you get kicked in the butt and out into the real world. And there's endless opportunities, which is really exciting. And also, especially for those of us who are more anxious minded, really terrifying. So I did not feel prepared for that. And I kind of floundered my first year out of college, which wasn't the worst thing because I took 20 credit hours a semester the year before I left and summer classes. So it was almost like I got my gap year, but it was just after I graduated. And by the way, if that happens to you, it's no big deal. Like, I want you to know, if you're 22, you're the youngest person I've ever met. You are a fetus. And just like own how young you are. Because when I was 22, I was like, oh my God, I'm so old. My life is over. Like, I was so dramatic. And I just want to go back and kiss my sweet little forehead and be like, oh, honey, you're so young and it's going to be okay. And if you're listening and you're 22 or younger or any age, you're so young and you're going to be okay. So, Rach, how are you thinking about this and what are you doing to prepare for graduation?
I'm honestly a little nervous. I mean, I've always just kind of slipped into things pretty easily, you know, just from high school to college. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I had the impact lined up ever since I was like a junior. And so it's just kind of been like these little easier steps than what people typically take, especially with your thing. The opportunity just came at a great time and I was able to just get into it. And I'm nervous it's not going to be like that, and it probably won't. And I've been preparing myself for that. Another thing too with journalism, it's such a broad career. Like, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it is that I want to do. I've always said, I'm going to do radio, I'm going to do podcasting, which that's really my focus right now. But I also love the other sides of it. Television is really cool. And I remember when I told my mom I was going to go to MSU for journalism and I was only going to do radio. I was like, that's going to be my thing. I'm an audio person. And she said, no, you're going to do TV. You're too pretty to not show that face. And the only thing I really don't like about it is that I feel like I have to be perfect on there. Like, last semester, I took my first anchoring class and I had, you know, my makeup, my powder sitting there, my lip gloss, and I had to like be perfect. And then it was like, all right, we're on and you got to say everything right. And it's a lot of pressure. So I feel like, you know, behind the mic, I'm a little bit more relaxed and I've always been like that. And I'm blessed to have that skill, but it's weird to think like, where am I going to be in the next year? Like, what am I going to be doing? Am I going to start with radio? Am I going to start with TV? I don't know. And I'm just kind of hoping like the more I get into like the fall and things, you know, I'll start seeing what's available and what my options are. But yeah, it's definitely a little nerve-wracking, but you've definitely helped with, you know, keeping my mind kind of at ease. Like, it will be okay. It's okay if you need a break, like right outside of school. School is crazy. And I really, you know, everybody always talks about grad school and things, and I personally will not be able to do that. Like, I just can't do any more school after this. I'm kind of over it. I'm ready to jump in. Yeah, that's another thing too. I have always been seen as being more mature than what my age is. It comes as a benefit and it doesn't at the same time. For instance, I don't live the typical college life in a way. Like, I'm not always out partying and things. And that can be a good thing, but it's like you also want to make sure you're living life a little bit and getting the experience that you're in, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Can I like just stop you for a minute? Like, do that in the next year. Stop being so responsible. And I want you to still get your stuff done for the show. But I did what you did. And we are very similar. I think that's why we work together so well. I mean, this is what my schedule was literally like my senior year. I had a class on, I think it was Monday, that started at 8 a.m. I think I had like a maybe a 2 hour break total in the whole day. I would go all day with classes. At 5 p.m., my class would wrap. I'd go to rehearsal at the auditorium for my theater degree. I'd have that from 6 to 10. I'd come home. I would eat a little. I would get a huge coffee from Big B's because I didn't know how to make coffee at the time. And I only drank it when I needed to stay up late. And then I would go to the impact at 12 a.m., do the impact from 12 to 2. And then I'd have a class again the next day at 8 or 9. Now, that was awesome. It truly set me up for the kind of work ethic I needed to have to make it in the media and music industry. But that said, when I look back on that time, I think, why did I push myself so hard? I knew I was a hard worker. Why did I feel like I needed to prove it so much? And I don't regret anything. But also, this is fake adulthood, Rachel. You're never going to get this opportunity again to have this sort of wiggle room and flexibility that you have now. And so I really think at least a couple nights a week, I'm not saying you should go out and be wild, but like, do something that's fun for you. Because also another thing to remember, as we are on a show called Unleash Your Inner Creative, in order to have new creative ideas, we have to live. You have to be out in the world living. It's not just about the work. It's not just about school. It's about connecting with other people and being out in the world and being inspired by that. And so I hope in this next year, in this last year of college, you allow yourself to actually live instead of just like working yourself into the ground. And it's good to practice that now because it doesn't get any easier once you graduate. Like, life will just keep you on a treadmill forever. You have to consciously take yourself off and say, no, I'm going out into the forest to be inspired.
Oh, I think that's totally true. I mean, I did actually go out last night, which is pretty funny that we're talking about this. And it was like my first time in such a long time. And recently, like I said, classes have been super hard and I've been feeling burnt out. Like, it's really, really difficult right now. And going out, like, I really wasn't going to. We had a huge snowstorm yesterday and my friends were in from out of town and they're like, no, you're going out with us. You never go out. Let's go. We'll be over in an hour. Like, get ready. And just even going out, surrounding myself with them, you know, dancing a little bit, it was like, wow, that just relieved all of my burnout a little bit. Like, that's just the kind of thing you need sometimes here and there. It's the same with like me going on a little trip. I don't really travel that much, maybe for spring break here and there, but I'm going next weekend to see my sister up in the UP. And it's like, that's a little nice getaway, you know, just for the weekend. You're going to work around everything else. You'll get the schoolwork done. You'll get the work done that you need to. But being able to just kind of have those opportunities once in a while here and there, it's good. It's mentally good.
So what I'm hearing you say is to prepare for graduation, you're trying to really enjoy what college is in the next year. So utilize all the opportunities, take the classes seriously, work on the show, work at the impact, and also enjoy the social aspect and connection aspect of being at Michigan State and have a little fun. And you're really trying to think about what you would like your life to be post-grad. So taking inventory of all the potential opportunities, sifting through them and kind of creating a game plan for each of them and putting your hat in the arena of all of them. So if you see a broadcasting on TV opportunity you like, putting your hat in the arena for that. If you see a radio one you like, putting your hat in the arena for that. I don't think hat in the arena is a saying, but you get what I'm saying, listener.
Oh, yeah. I love that saying. It's good. Yeah.
Got to put the hat in the arena at the end of the day and the top and the middle of the day. All day, just throw hats. So I think that's great advice. And really, too, another thing I'd like to say is I felt like I had to have it all figured out by the time I took my final class. And you're going to be figuring it out for the rest of your life. If you're listening and you're still in college or you're a recent grad, I'd like you to think about taking the pressure off of yourself to have everything figured out right this second. This is the time to try to put yourself out there and see what feels right. And when it doesn't, to move on kindly and respectfully, but move on from that opportunity. You don't have to have it all figured out. And in fact, it's actually your job right now in your early to mid 20s to be trying things and seeing what sticks and what feels like you. You're figuring out who you are as a full adult now. I would say just like get interested in and like put yourself in the way of anything that sounds exciting to you. Start building it out and really noticing like what feels most alive inside of me. For Rachel, like when I am doing a live broadcast and a TV broadcast, like what does that feel like inside of me versus when I'm just doing a radio broadcast? Like what feels most like me or who I want to be? And just pay attention to that. Like, and don't listen to other people too much. Everybody's going to think they know the right thing for your life, but you are the only one who has to walk your path. And I think a lot of times we ask other people's advice when we want to confirm something we already know inside of ourselves, or B, aren't trusting the subtle cues that our body, mind, and spirit are giving us about who we are or who we want to be. So trust yourself and trust your own inner knowing, and that's going to lead you down your most authentic path.
Yeah, the biggest advice I always give people to, and to myself, I've had to learn, is to not be a perfectionist. You just can't. I used to always be like, no, this has to be done this way. I have to get this done. I never procrastinated. But now I've realized like, no, you can mess up here and there. Like, don't worry about it. It'll all be okay.
And I also have struggled with perfectionism, but being a perfectionist is really rather boring. For me, at least, I end up delaying a lot of things that I want to do because I think they have to be perfect. I love that quote, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. It's really important. Yes. Because especially when you're pursuing a more creative path or a more entrepreneurial path, if you don't just allow yourself to put things out there as good as they can be, but not perfect, you actually will never do anything. So that's the first thing. But second, you end up stopping yourself from ever even trying a lot of the time because you're like, well, I can't do it this way. Something I'll recommend to the listener is allow yourself to be bad at something. When we first are kids and trying things, we really are not good at most things we try, but we don't know that, so we keep going. The problem is by the time you're an adult, your taste level is pretty high. So when you try something and you know you're not as good as your taste, you can give up. That's okay. You just need to commit to the art of being bad at something. Let yourself be bad at it. Let yourself get better. And eventually you will work your way up to your taste level. But it's not by giving up the first time you try because it's not perfect.
No, not at all. I mean, I relate to that so much, especially with this podcast. Like we said, you know, it was rough in the beginning. Like I was giving you just the little basics that I knew of audio editing, and then now look at me, like you're barely making any edits. That like warms my heart. It's the same with anything else in school, you know, with tests and things. Like you're not going to be perfect at everything. You're not going to get 100%. And I had to realize that real quick, especially with college. And I've just accepted, like, in the end, you can always try again. There's yeah. always going to be chances to try again.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so, so true. I put so much pressure on myself for grades. And I have to say, keep trying because it feels good to get on the dean's list and everything. But literally no one has ever looked at my college diploma or my transcripts. Like it was like I could have just said I did it.
That's so funny. And they always tell you that too. It's yeah. like you're never going to need it later on. But it's like, no, but in the moment I'm working so hard right now, I want it.
I don't regret anything, like all the late night studying and everything. I don't regret it because I, like you, Rach, was on the dean's list every single semester, but literally no one ever cared. If you're doing it, do it for yourself and because you actually want to learn the material. That's all I'm saying. So our final little point we want to touch on is staying creative after college. So the biggest thing I would say is, especially if you're working a 9-to-5 or something that's like out of the field that you really want to do, if what you want is a creative field, is you have to make time in your schedule to pursue your creativity. So like the same way if you had dinner plans with a friend, you wouldn't just like skip out on them. I think you should make literal time in your schedule to do the creative thing you want to do, whether that's writing music, painting, writing, you know, ideating for a potential new business. You have to treat yourself seriously and like take your commitments to yourself as seriously as you would take the work that you're doing for money and the way you like would take a friendship date seriously. Like keep that creative time sacred. Do you have any advice for people, Rach?
Yeah, I totally relate to this as well because I've been struggling to find time for my creative passions. And one of them is to start up my own personality podcast because I have all the sources to do it. I know how to do it. I help other people do that as a job. And it's sad that I can't even make time for myself to do it, which I need to, not just, you know, for myself, but for when I do want a job in the podcasting field, they want to see what I've done, not just, you know, reporting the news like I do in my other podcast, but actually showing myself off in this way. And so that's a goal going forward, trying to make time, even if it's just like 30, 20 minutes even, like you don't have to do it for that long. It's just here and there little steps. And then maybe I can like increase the time, you know, going forward once I find it, especially in the summer. I definitely am trying to do that in the summer because I'm going to have more time.
So that's good advice. So just making sure you incrementally are going toward your creative goal. And then the final question I want to ask you is, you know, this show, the goal of the show is to give people tools to love, trust, and know themselves enough to go after whatever it is that's on their heart and claim their right to creativity, because I believe that creativity is your birthright. It is everybody's birthright. So, Rachel, how are you working on your self-love, self-trust, and self-knowledge?
I found personally I need to make time for myself. Like I always used to overwhelm myself, you know, with other people, other work. And there's days where I literally have time where I'm like, no, nobody come talk to me. I just need to be in my element. And that's something I try and work on too, is having somewhat of a normal schedule. I'm up pretty early. You know, I keep on a tight schedule. So I'm up at like 5-6 in the morning. And by 6 o'clock in the evening, I want to be done with work. And I want that time to just reflect, maybe watch a TV show, you know, just kind of resettle my mind and reset. I know for people it's really hard to do that though, you know, especially with college, you have study time and you've got other things that you're committed to, but you want to make sure that you do create that time because if you don't, it's not going to be good.
So for you, the path to self-love, self-trust, and self-knowledge is really about creating the space so that you can reflect on who you are, who you want to be, how you can create a life that better serves that vision of authenticity.
Yes. And even making small things, like for me personally, I try and get a full 8 hours of sleep in. I can't function without that. And that's difficult. Like sometimes I just don't get that opportunity, but it's making little things like that in your schedule that'll just help you going forward.
I'm so glad you do that. I was so bought into hustle culture when I was in college. Well, first of all, no one knew what hustle culture was in 2011, right? Like that wasn't even a phrase, but I was so bought into that and had it internalized so much. I used to go around in college saying sleep is for the weak. I would pull all nighters all the time. It was so unhealthy. So it's really encouraging to see your generation with such a better intuitive knowing of how to take care of themselves. I think millennials, which is the generation I'm part of, just didn't have that knowing as much. And it's beautiful to see, and I hope it continues, and it's inspired me. So that's very, very cool. And I'm glad you take care of yourself in that way. Okay, Rach, well, this has been a pleasure. Thank you for everything you've done for me and for the show and for being such a big part of setting up this collaboration between the Impact and Michigan State and Unleash Your Inner Creative. And I really appreciate you because you're an amazing human. You're so talented. And you have brought me a new level of connection with MSU that I'd kind of lost over this past decade. So thank you for bringing me back into the Spartan fold and just for being who you are, because it's the best thing about you.
Thank you, Lauren. It's my pleasure to help you. It's my pleasure to, you know, just keep seeing you thrive and survive in this world. And I love how you're doing it. And I'm learning so much. And thank you so much for bringing me in on this. It's been awesome.
Yeah. Well, I always say it's our show, you know, like I want you to take ownership of it. And I really love that you do, because your thumbprint is on everything we do. So thank you for your heart and soul and passion and talent. And I just adore you. And I hope this conversation inspired more people to want to mentor recent grads and current students. And also that it inspired current students and recent grads to want to reach out and say, I'm curious to do a mentorship or an apprenticeship or an internship with you. I think we have so much to teach each other, and these situations are really mutually beneficial. So thank you for being a part of that, and go green.
Go white.
Thank you for listening, and thanks to my guest, Rachel Fulton. You can find more info on Rachel at Rachel M. Fulton. Her podcast, The State, airs Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. on the Impact 89 FM, and it can also be found wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you, Rachel, for editing and associate producing this episode. And again, thank you. If you like what you heard today and you want to support the show, Unleash Your Inner Creative can be rated, reviewed, and found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's also great to share the show with a friend and post about it on social media. You can find me at Lauren LaGrasso and at Unleash Your Inner Creative on all social platforms. Thank you to Liz Full for the show's theme music. Follow her at Liz Full. And my wish for you this week is that you cultivate and seek out meaningful mentorship opportunities in your life, and that you also seek to mentor someone. We really have the power to make each other's lives, careers, and creativity so much better and richer by reaching out a hand and by taking that hand when it's given to you. I love you. I believe in you. Thanks for joining us on this first day of our exciting collaboration with Michigan State. And I can't wait to talk with you next week.